Evolution's built on the concept that given enough time, things get better with age. You know something? I've noticed nothing gets better with age. Mark it down, nothing. This is chapter 11. So hopefully you found that part in God's Word. Why don't you stand with me, please? We're reading verses 1 through 9. And the Bible says, "And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, 'Go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly.' And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, 'Go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make us a name, and lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth.' And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower, which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, 'Behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech.' So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, that they left off to build the city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of the earth." Our Heavenly Father, it is wonderful to meet together as a church family, sing your songs, and enjoy the fellowship of one another. And now as we open your word and we look into it, this wonderful God-breathed book containing truth that gives us a foundation to look at a lost and dying world and have some semblance of understanding of the battle that is being waged between good and evil, right and wrong, your word versus man's word. I pray that it is our desire today to honor you in the way that we live, the things that we say, the decisions that we make, that others would see us being different because we are a peculiar people. We're supposed to be different. And I hope that we are appreciating the difference that you have blessed us with. Watch over us, please, this morning as you meet with us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We are going to do a little bit of a recap. I have been talking to you as the first of the year, obviously, is the four great events that take place in the book of Genesis in the first 11 chapters, is the creation, the fall, the flood, the Tower of Babel. If you have an understanding as a Christian of those first four events that are recorded in your Bible in the first 11 chapters, then life will make sense to you going forward. The Christian teaching will make sense to you going forward. These are foundational truths that without them, you kind of, the gospel still makes sense, but you see what has taken place in the history of mankind and some of the struggles that we face today. In chapters 1 and 2, we have in the beginning, God created. Adrian Rogers said, if you can accept the first three words in the Bible, in the beginning, God, then you can accept the rest of the whole thing. And obviously, it's important that we understand and we just believe that God created the heavens and the earth. In chapter 3, we see the fall of man. And Genesis 3:6, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband, and he did eat. And obviously, you know the story. Their eyes were opened. They knew good and evil. That's what God was trying to protect them from. Don't you wish you didn't see some of the things you see now? I know from, you know, some people love to just be shocked at what they see. Not me. I don't want to be shocked by anything. But the world can be shocking, and those are the things that the Lord was trying to protect us from, and obviously man chose poorly. So we have the creation in chapters 1 and 2. In chapter 3, we see the fall of man. In chapter 4, we see the first murder. In Genesis 4:10, and he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And obviously Cain had killed his brother Abel. And in chapter 6, we have the recording of the worldwide flood. In Genesis 6:5 says, "And God saw the wickedness of man, that it was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." What an indictment on mankind. Every thought was only evil nonstop. Oh my. Yeah, you and I have never seen a society like that, but Jesus said, as in the days of Noah, those times will come again. The title of my message is History, a Revolving Door. And what's happened before, Solomon said, will happen again. We try hard to stop these things from repeating, but they will. And what we see happening in the first 11 chapters of God's Word was history thousands of years ago, and those same things continue to happen over and over and over. It's the nature of man. So God sent a worldwide flood that changed the earth to look like the way that it is that we see it now, which would have been much different from the way that God created it. You put anything underwater, and it's not going to come out the same. And obviously, our planet did not either. In chapter 9, after the flood, and this is very important, in chapter 9 and verse 1, "And God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Their command was to replenish the earth, spread out, and move on." Just an observation, and I'm not saying there is no godly people in the cities, but you notice that problems are much more pronounced in congested areas. Remember the parable of the prodigal son? He wanted to go to the city because that's where all the fun was. Well, you know, Satan's formula for fun and God's formula for fun are diametrically opposed. They're not even close. And it's in the cities, we see it in the United States, we see it all around the world, that trouble starts. God's plan is to spread out. Don't bunch together. You'll notice in our text this morning, I don't want to get away from my notes, but they said, "Let us build a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven, let us make a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the earth." They didn't want to scatter. They wanted to stick together. Don't forget that. Our text, Genesis chapter 11, what is happening? The foundation of humanism was laid at the Tower of Babel. Don't miss that. The foundation of humanism was laid at the Tower of Babel. Three things I want you to see this morning about what took place in Genesis chapter 11. We have the rebellion against God's message. We have the rebellion against God's majesty, and we have the rebellion against God's method. The rebellion against his message, obviously we've already gone over Genesis 3, yea, hath God said. Remember this, at every turn, a lack of obedience is an act of rebellion. And that's for you and I as well. Don't think, oh, God doesn't mind if I don't do X. If he's told you to do it and you don't, that is an act of rebellion. You are looking at God and doing the same thing that they did thousands of years ago when he said, I want it to go like this, and man did just the opposite. Genesis 3, they said, yea, hath God said, questioning God's word. Rebellion against God's statement. Genesis 4, God required a blood sacrifice. Cain said, no, I don't want to do that. I'm going to buy my way through my work and my efforts. And there are people still doing that today. You know, the blood is offensive to people. We used to be called Bloody Baptists. Well, they don't call us so much Bloody Baptists anymore. Why? Because we've stopped talking about the blood. I want you to know, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Jesus didn't just die on the cross. They didn't knock him over the head and throw him in a pit. He bled and died, and it was that shed blood that pays for our sins, and without it, salvation cannot take place. God instituted that early on when he showed Adam and Eve in the garden, they all of a sudden they went from wearing leaves to wearing skins. Why did that take place? Well, it's not shown, but it certainly implied that God himself made the first blood sacrifice. He killed an animal, and with the skin of that animal, clothed mankind. Yea, hath God said. God required a blood sacrifice in Genesis chapter 4. Cain rebelled against that. In Genesis chapter 6, God said, get into the ark. And the world refused and went to a watery grave. In Genesis chapter 9, God said, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. And man said, let's build a city that can communicate with the stars and build a name of ourselves so that we can stick together. You know, there are some laws that you learned when you were in school in science. Newton's third law, for every action, there's equal and opposite reaction. Now, I'm not a scientist. I don't know all of that. But I know if I bang on the pulpit is going to push back as hard as I hit it. And it hurts after a while. Because there is consequences to everything. Newton's third law. Well, God has some laws, too. Let me just give you a couple of them. Be sure your sin will find you out. That's law. That's a guarantee. We've said that in the last few weeks over and over. Galatians 6, 7, be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So there's a law called sowing and reaping. The rebellion against God's message. God said, man said no. And every time man says no to what God has planned, let me tell you something, man, you can't fight God. You will lose. If not now, at the time of the judgment, you will lose. Rebellion against God's message. Not only rebellion against God's message, there was rebellion against God's majesty. Look at our text in verse number 4, and they said, let's build us a city and a tower that may reach unto heaven. Now, if you're using a Pew Bible or if you're looking at a King James Version Bible, you'll notice that the may reach is in italics. That was added in for a clearer or an easier understanding of reading the verse. I have no problem with that. I'm not trying to pick that apart. But if you take the italics words out and you just read it as, let's build a city and a tower whose top unto heaven. In other words, what was happening, the purpose of the tower was so that the top could reach into the heavens as it's dedicated unto heaven. The purpose was to worship the sun, moon, and stars. They wanted to start their own religion. And I'd like to say that the first religion and the religion that is still alive and well today that started back then is called humanism. And humanism has four legs to it, if you will, just like there's four legs to this pulpit, four legs to an altar, four legs to a table. And on those four legs, I'm going to give you very quickly. Number one, the first leg of humanism is atheism. 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 In Latin, if you put an A before the word, it negates it. So atheism means no God, refusal to believe in God. Atheism, amoral. No morals. Agnostic. Gnostic is to know. Agnostic means you can't know. There are those that say they're atheists, and there are those that'll say that they're not atheists, they're just agnostics. You know, we just don't know for sure if there's a God. And so they want to be more intellectual than the atheist that's denying. We just haven't decided yet whether there's really a God or not. Well, you know what? There is one. You can stop wondering all you want to. There is one. So if you put an A in front of something, I'll give you obviously atheism, amoral, agnostic. When you put an A in front of anything, it negates it. No God, no morals. You can't know. For instance, if you say a Chevrolet, that means no car. So whatever you put an A in front of, there you go. The Bible's very clear on these things. The Bible says an atheist is a liar. In Romans 1:19, God says he has revealed himself to us. And he has. Not only does it say atheists are liars, Psalm 14:1 says they are fools. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. There's another italics, there is. If you take that "there is" out, the Bible reads, "The fool hath said no God." And I think it could mean no God is not there, or no God, I won't do what you tell me to do. Either one is bad. Isaac Newton, I love this. He said, "In the absence of proof, the thumb alone would convince me that God's existence." I like that. In the absence of proof, the thumb alone would convince me of God's existence. Boy, isn't that the truth. The heavens declare the glory of God. Look in a mirror. See that face? You are created by God for God. Living anything less is Satan's plan to fill your life with something that falls short of the glory of God. Atheism, one leg of humanism. Obviously, we see that going on today. The second leg of humanism is antagonism / evolution. You didn't build that. I just want to say for a second, for every person that looks at God and says the planet, the earth, you didn't build that. Do you think that ticks God off at all? For anything that there was an administration a while ago that had a theory that whatever you had, you didn't build it. If the government hadn't helped you, it never would have happened. Well, you know what? That kind of bothers me. Because I don't remember the government being there when I was starting my business. If anything, they were working against me. And so I'm slightly offended when someone says, in the business that God blessed me with and allowed me to work in for over 30 years, in the work that we've done in business, and obviously I've sold that off, that's a chapter that's closed in my life, but to say that someone other than myself and the help of God Almighty accomplished that kind of offends me. Dead River didn't help me. The competition didn't help me. It was God enabling us to do a certain thing, and he does the same thing for you. And I'll tell you what, if you don't work at it, you'll never be successful at it. I don't care what it is. And for someone to look at God Almighty and the creation that he has given us, this incredible planet, every night when I wake up, if I can't sleep, I look out the window. And this week, the sky has been so clear and the stars are so bright. And you look out the window and you see that out there. The last thing I would consider is you didn't make that. Can you imagine how ridiculous that is? The process of evolution. Evolution is built on the concept that given enough time, things get better with age. You know something? I've noticed nothing gets better with age. Mark it down, nothing. Now, the critic would say, well, champagne gets better with age. So I decided I'd look up just the whole process of champagne if it gets better with age. Champagne is sitting there rotting, and as it rots, it changes the flavors, which to those that no longer have any taste, it tastes better to them. That's kind of how I interpret it. But nothing gets better with age. You and I know this to be true. The second law of thermodynamics says that things go from order to disorder. That's true. Evolution says things will get better. That is in direct contradiction to the laws of science. They say they follow science until science doesn't help. Then they start making their own rules. Show me any teacher that is pleased with a student who refuses to obey the rules or do the assignments. They are failures. But when intellectual pointy heads in higher education say the Bible is a bunch of myths, we send our young people off to be educated by them. Watch out as your kids graduate and they move on from home. Do they have foundational truth? Are they ready to meet the world? Because I'm telling you, the world wants to chew them up and spit them out. And some of these colleges, with these billions of dollars of endowments, you have no business sending your young people that you've invested your life into to go and be corrupted by them so they can come home and call you an idiot. That's what happens. It is very antagonistic to the plan of God. So humanism, what are the four legs? Number one, it's atheism. Number two, it's antagonism or telling God no. Number three, it's amoralism. Sin without consequences. Do you ever notice that really what we're trying to do in society today is try to figure out a way that we can do anything we want to and get away with it? They want to get rid of police officers. They want to do away with laws. They want to rewrite everything. They'd like to get rid of Christians. Why? Because we are the conscience of society. We are the ones that are saying abortion is murder. We are the ones that are saying stealing is wrong. We are the ones that are saying if you don't work, you shouldn't eat. We are the ones quoting the Bible, and let me tell you something. This book right here, to a godless world, is offensive to them. And you and I are the greatest defense, but you and I also know that we are salt and light. That if it wasn't for us, the time will come when the rapture of the church will happen. We will be taken out. There will no longer be salt and light in society. And that's where the Bible records life on earth will be worse than you've ever seen. Why is that? Because salt and light's gone. Not only that, the Holy Spirit will be gone. No influence from God other than these Bibles left behind and the message that you and I would have told people that didn't go in the rapture, which will be most of the earth. And in that process, they may think we're a problem now. Let me tell you something. They're going to have problems they never thought ever. They're going to be saying, I never thought I'd see the day. But there'll be no way to get out of it. Amoralism, sin without consequences. Humanism says you are your own God and you can live your own truth. Every law that God has, man has tried to come up with ways to break it without any consequences. It can't be done. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Atheism, antagonism, amoralism. And lastly, I'll just throw this out to you. Adoration of man. We become God. We worship the body. We worship the voice. We worship the vocation. We worship sports. We idolize things that obviously God gave us to enjoy, but they're not to take God's place. The adoration of man. Rebellion against God's message. Rebellion against God's majesty. And lastly, rebellion against God's method. Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. You know what God's method is? Spread out. Spread out. Matthew 28:19-20. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. You were born, mom and dad, to reproduce. Now, I understand physically some people can't. I understand certain things take place. But God made man and woman. He established the family first, not the church, the family. That's why these marriage things are important. You know, your home, your family is a picture of Christ in the church. And if you and I want to be effective in reaching a lost and dying world, the most effective thing we can do is have a happy home, have a happy marriage. And in the process of a happy marriage, a boy meets a girl and a girl meets a boy, and they after a while, they spend some time together and decide they like each other, and then the guy works up to, will you marry me? And she says, no, okay. And then they get married, and then they start, something happens. I don't know what happens. I've never understood it, but all of a sudden, kids come along. And in that, that's part of God's plan. Is to be fruitful and multiply. And you know what? Satan hates children. Jesus loves children. Satan wants babies murdered. Jesus said it'd be better that a millstone were hung around somebody's neck than to offend one of these little ones. Jesus loves kids. Churches are dying for lack of children. Some churches don't have any kids because they're afraid the kids will get their carpets dirty. Or they might get some of their donut on the pew. Thank God for some dirty carpets. Thank God for some pews that need to be cleaned, that the kids made a mess on. Now, honestly, as a parent, I would prefer your kids not make a mess on the pews. Just throwing that out there. However, you be careful how you raise your kids. You be careful what you teach them, how you love them, how you bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You are here on purpose for a purpose, and one of those purposes is, mom and dad, is to have kids. Now, some people seem to be, you know, your quiver needs to be full, the Bible says. Well, how big's your quiver? Mine wasn't that big, all right? Some people seem to have a larger quiver than others, and they can just, some families just seem like they're natural born reproducers. Hallelujah for them. I'm all for them. You go. But that's a purpose. God loves children. God loves families. We are to show that and live that. Not only are we to physically reproduce, when you trust Christ as your personal Savior, you are to reproduce spiritually. We are told to go out into the world and preach the gospel, to share our faith. There is no such thing as a closet Christian. Jesus said, if you deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father, which is in heaven. In other words, if you're not talking about the Lord here, there will come a day when we stand before God Almighty. Our Heavenly Father will be there. Jesus Christ will be our advocate. He will either advocate for you or against you. If you've not advocated for him in this life, in the next life, he's not advocating for you. You know what that means? You're lost. You're lost. I married Emily Lovett down there in the front row. I like her. I like her a lot. I mean, that's an understatement. I like her a lot. I never have gone out in public, and if someone says, are you married? We don't like to talk about that. You know, there's just, how ridiculous is that? How ridiculous is that? Now, Emily treats me great. I'm not looking for a new model. But I'll tell you what. Jesus treats me better. And who are we to not talk about our Savior, to share our faith? You and I see the effects of the Tower of Babel and the humanism, what they were trying to accomplish. And every time you see someone rebelling against God, they are playing into Satan's hands. If you're saved and you know it, say amen.
Amen.
Are you glad?
Yes.
Absolutely. Heavenly Father. Anyway, my wife tells me these things at home just to give you a little insight of what goes on in our family, and so she's reading me these jokes. You know, and I like to laugh as good as the next person. So I'll run one by you. You tell me whether you think it's funny or not, okay? So there's these two windmills are talking to each other. And one windmill says to the other one, so what kind of music do you like to listen to? And the other windmill said, I'm a big heavy metal fan. Yeah, you were kind of thinking of it as I did, you know? So, yeah.